So you may recall at the end of the last lecture, we stated Rolle's theorem, which says that if you have a function on a closed interval that's continuous on the closed interval, differentiable in the interior, and if it vanishes at both of the endpoints, then the derivative vanishes somewhere in the middle. So let's think about the proof of this result. So this is a baby version of the mean value theorem. So for the proof, if f is a constant function, then any point in the interval will do. The derivative is zero everywhere. So assume f is non-constant. An earlier theorem guarantees that f will have both a maximum and a minimum in the interval because a closed bounded interval is compact. If one of these occurs in the open interval AB, then Fermat's proposition guarantees that f prime will vanish there, and then you're done. If the maximum and minimum occur at the endpoints, then all of the values of f lie in between 0 and 0. In other words, f is constant, contradicting our assumption. So that's the end of the proof. Pretty simple. Example. Of course, the point C, where the derivative vanishes in Rolle's theorem, need not be unique. Consider f of x equals x cubed minus x squared minus 2x. On the interval minus 1, 2, then f at minus 1 is equal to f at 2 equals 0. And f prime x is 3x squared minus 2x minus 2 vanishes at two points, namely 2 plus square root of 28 over 6 and 2 minus square root of 28 over 6. And both those points lie in the interval. The next figure illustrates what we just said. You can see in the picture that this curve passes through the value 0 at x equals minus 1 and also at x equals 2, and you can see that there are two points in between where the derivative is 0. There's a hump on the left and a valley on the right. If you rotate the graph of a function satisfying the hypotheses of Rolle's theorem, the result suggests that for any continuous function f on the interval AB differentiable in the interior, we should be able to relate the slope of the chord connecting AFA and BFB with the value of f prime at some intermediate point. That is the content of the mean value theorem. So here's the theorem. Let f be a continuous function on the closed interval AB that is differentiable on the interior. Then there exists a point C in the interior such that fb minus fa over b minus a, that's the slope of the chord, equals f prime C. And the next figure illustrates this idea. The dotted line is the chord connecting AFA and BFB, and the solid line is the line given in the conclusion of the mean value theorem. Proof. Our scheme is to implement the remarks preceding the theorem. We don't exactly rotate, but what we do is sort of morally like rotating. More precisely, we define g of x to be f at x minus the quantity FA plus FB minus FA over B minus A times x minus A. And this is for x in the closed interval AB. By direct verification, g is continuous on the closed interval and differentiable on the open interval. After all, g is obtained from f by elementary arithmetic operations. Also, gA equals gB equals 0, as you could check by just plugging in x equals a or x equals b. Thus, we may apply Rolle's theorem to g, and we find there is a c in the open interval AB so that g prime c is 0. Remembering that x is the variable, we differentiate the formula for g, and we find that 0 equals g prime c equals the quantity f prime x minus fb minus fa over b minus a evaluated at x equals c, which is f prime c minus fb minus a, f of b minus f of a over b minus a. As a result, just doing a little algebra, f prime c equals fb minus fa over b minus a, and that is the conclusion of the mean value theorem. Corollary. If f is a differentiable function on the open interval I, and if f prime x equals 0 for all x at I, then f is constant. That's intuitively clear. If the slope of the tangent line is 0 at every point in the interval, then the function ought to be constant, but we can now give a rigorous and elementary proof. If s and t are any two elements of the interval, then the theorem tells us that fs minus st, ft equals f prime c times s minus t for some c between s and t. But by hypothesis, the derivative at every point is 0, so f prime c is 0. We conclude that fs minus ft is 0, or fs equals ft. Since s and t were chosen arbitrarily, we conclude that f is constant. Another corollary, if f is differentiable on an open interval I and f prime x is bigger than or equal to 0 at all points of I, then f is increasing on I. That is, if s is less than t or elements of I, then f of s is less than or equal to f of t. Secondly, if f is differentiable on an open interval I and f prime x less than or equal to 0 for all x and I, then f is decreasing on I, and that means that if s is less than t or elements of I, then f and s is bigger than or equal to f of t. The proof is almost identical to the proof of the preceding corollary, and so we will not give the details right now. Example. Let us verify that if f is a differentiable function on the reals and absolute f prime x less than or equal to 1 for all x, then absolute fs minus ft is less than or equal to absolute s minus t for all real s and t. In fact, if s is not equal to t, there is a c in between s and t, so that fs minus st over s minus t equals f prime c. That's the mean value theorem. But absolute f prime c, of course, is less than or equal to 1 by hypothesis, so we find that absolute value of the quantity fs minus ft over s minus t equals f absolute f prime c less than or equal to 1. Clearing the denominator, we get a fs absolute value fs minus ft less than or equal to absolute value s minus t, and that's what we had claimed. The next example is very interesting. Let us verify that the limit as x goes to infinity of the square root of x plus 5 minus the square root of x equals 0. So define f at x equals the square root of x. Then the expression in parentheses that we're trying to analyze is f of x plus 5 minus f of x. By the mean value theorem, this equals f prime c times 5 for some c between x and x plus 5. Well, we know how to calculate the derivative of the square root of x, and so this last expression is nothing other than 1 half c to the minus 1 half times 5. And since c lies between x and x plus 5, we know that this expression is less than or equal to 5 halves times x to the minus 1 half. And clearly, and so the thing we're trying to study, square root of x plus 5 minus square root of x, is less than or equal to 5 halves x to the minus 1 half. Clearly, as x tends to infinity, 5 halves x to the minus 1 half tends to 0, and therefore the expression that we're studying, square root of x plus 5 minus square root of x, also tends to 0. So that's the end of that example. So there's a generalization of the mean value theorem that was proved by A.L. Cauchy in the early 19th century. Let f and g be continuous functions on the interval, closed interval a, b, which are both differentiable on the open interval. Assume that g prime is not 0 on the interval, and that g of a is not equal to g of b. Then there is a point c in the interior, so that fb minus fa over gb minus ga equal f prime c over g prime c. Proof. Apply the usual mean value theorem to the function hx is equals gx times fb minus fa, take away fx times gb minus ga. So just apply the mean value theorem on the interval AB to this H, and do a little calculation, and you'll get the result. Clearly, the usual mean value theorem is obtained from Cauchy's by taking GX to be the function X. We conclude this section by illustrating a typical application of Cauchy's mean value theorem. So let f be a differentiable function on an interval I so that f prime is differentiable at a point X. Then the limit as H goes to 0 from above of f of x plus h plus f of x minus h minus 2fx over h squared equals f double prime at x. So this shows you that there's a generalization of the Newton quotient that gives you the second derivative. So to see this, fix x and define script capital F of h to be f of x plus h plus f of x minus h minus 2fx, which is just the denominator on the left-hand side, and define script g of h to be h squared. So the quantity fx plus h plus fx minus h minus 2fx over h squared equals fh minus f0 divided by gh minus g0. And by Cauchy's mean value theorem, this last expression equals f prime c over g prime c, over sub c, in between 0 and h. Writing out this last expression gives f prime x plus c minus f prime x minus c over 2c equals 1 half times f prime x plus c minus f prime x divided by c plus 1 half f prime x minus c minus f prime x over minus c, and the last line tends as h goes to 0 to f double prime of x, which is what we wanted to prove. It is a fact that the standard proof of L'Hopital's rule is obtained by way of Cauchy's mean value theorem. This line of reasoning is explored in the next lecture. It's a curious fact that L'Hopital did not prove L'Hopital's rule. In fact, his teacher Bernoulli proved it, and L'Hopital's wealthy family paid Bernoulli for the favor to get a theorem named after their son. Okay, that's it. See you next time.